Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, May 28, 2021. Section A. Ramsey, Central Office to Become Service Center for Campuses. By Stuart Doreen. The reorganization of Midland ISD's administration has started. Superintendent Angelica Ramsey wrote as much in a letter to district staff and families on Thursday. Arguably, the greatest change will be that the concept of central office is no more. Instead, it will become the district's service center. Ramsey wrote that the theme of her stakeholder meetings since her arrival in Midland in February was the need to create a highly effective district service center. The reason for the change was quite simple. Stakeholders from across the district shared that the structure of academics department does not meet the needs of our campuses and students. To that end, we will be reorganizing academics to provide greater support, coaching, and collaboration to campuses. While you may see titles that are new to our organization, I am pleased to share that this additional support comes at a net cost savings to our district. I look forward to sharing more information as work progresses on this initiative. More details on the organization are expected to come out during the summer break, including what will take place with the currently vacant chief academic officer position. The idea of a central office that needed to be more responsive to campuses was talked about when then interim superintendent Ann Dixon worked for the district in the fall and winter prior to Ramsey's arrival. After Ramsey was named the lone finalist for the superintendent's position, she described her thoughts with the Reporter Telegram about what a district's central office should be. I'm very clear about looking at central office and ensuring we make sure that it's a service center, she said in a January article. While not speaking specifically about MISD at the time, Ramsey said, right-sizing a district's central office is important, as is keeping central office from becoming its own island. She called the separation of campus and central office as being a part of district's death spiral, and in effect can include that the number of programs or curriculums being served go from 2 to 3 to many more. And you end up hiring additional people, and you're all busy all the time, but you're not necessarily busy doing the right work. So there is a need to have some organizational effectiveness via efficiency and coherence. And that's not a typical thing that happens in systems when they start getting large. Everybody's busy, but you're not being efficient, and you're definitely not being effective. She added that the role of central office is to help provide support, to help build the team and create opportunities for academic wins. Teachers need to know everything I know, she said, because that's the only way that they can actually impact change. I've been in school systems where folks at the central office have a lot more information than our teachers. That's great, but that doesn't help any because last time I checked, we don't teach kids at central office. Other highlights from the letter sent out to staff and families on Thursday include students invited to attend the district's robust summer learning program were contacted by their respective schools. Free breakfast and lunch meals are available this summer for anyone 18 years old or younger, or special needs adults up to age 21. Please visit www.midlandisd.net/summermeals for a list of all the location meals where meals will be available for daily pickup. Additionally, if a child receives free or reduced-priced school meals this year, a family may qualify for pandemic electronic benefit transfer benefits to purchase food. The PEBT application opens June 2nd at texas.gov/PEBT. Directions were provided so families could review their students' scores on the STAR test. Ramsey wrote that families also will see resources that can be used at home over the remainder of the summer, focused on the skills a child needs the most support with. We expect STAR scores will likely be lower for many students this year, so many of them have experienced trauma and loss in addition to the disruption in classroom instruction. You can help ease stress by letting your child know that this year, STAR is only meant to help teachers and parents better support their learning. The district's summer schedule will be in effect from June 7th through July 2nd. During those weeks, the district service center and campuses will be open from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Thursday, and closed Fridays. The expanded hours, combined with 30-minute lunch breaks, allow employees to complete 40 hours of work in 4 days, while saving on cooling costs during the hot summer months. Peyton, Midland's four-star hotel deal is dead, by Caitlin Randall. After previously putting the project on hold, the City of Midland and Midway Companies are no longer planning to construct a luxury hotel in downtown Midland. A contract to build a 205-room hotel across from Centennial Park was approved in 2019. On Thursday, Mayor Patrick Peyton said that deal was no longer happening because of the effect the coronavirus pandemic had on the hotel industry. The partners that the city had joined with were not able to fulfill their contractual obligations, so we mutually parted ways. The city will now focus on demolishing the Western United Life building in the 300 block of Texas, where the hotel was planned, and start from scratch. He said there are currently no plans beyond demolishing the building and exploring what could go there. However, the possibility of a four-star hotel in downtown Midland is certainly not off the table, he said. I think we still need to pay attention to the hotel options downtown. We're going to have to continue to work on down the road on making sure we have rooms, making sure we have the hotel space, and really just starting over now that the deal is done. He said the city will focus on plans to designate parts of downtown as cultural or entertaining districts and look at ways those districts could enhance the downtown area. Council members Scott Dufford and Spencer Robinette had told the Reporter Telegram in February that the hotel deal was facing delays because of the pandemic. They said the city was waiting on Midway companies to fulfill a laundry list of requirements, including proof of financing. The original deal approved by the council included $15 million in cash incentives paid to Midway and $5.6 million expended by the Midland Development Corp to purchase and remediate the Western United Life building. The Midland City Council also provided $8 million at the time to build a 400-space parking garage. XTO Energy encourages girls to consider careers in engineering. XTO Energy, a subsidiary of ExxonMobil, employee volunteers welcomed MISD female students from the Young Women's Leadership Academy, Goddard Junior High, and Bunch Elementary for Introduce a Girl to Engineering Day, a program designed to inspire female students to consider careers in engineering. XTO employees led a series of problem-solving activities through hands-on interactive experiments, such as building a catapult. Students learned how creativity and ingenuity can be used in the classroom and how knowledge of science, technology, engineering, and math subjects can lead to rewarding engineering careers. More than 16,000 students across the U.S. have participated in the Introduce a Girl to Engineering Day events since the program's inception in 2003. According to the Society of Women Engineers, women account for only 13% of the engineering practice, which are typically high-paying and high-demand jobs. ExxonMobil employs almost 24,000 scientists and engineers around the world, working collaboratively with other companies and academic institutions to bring energy to market, develop new energy technologies, improve energy efficiency, and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Date set for Jenny Cudd jury trial, by Caitlin Randall. The jury selection and trial for the charges against Midland businesswoman Jenny Cudd for her involvement in the riots at the U.S. Capitol in January is set to begin in February 2022. Cudd, the owner of Becky's Flowers in West Midland, is facing 5 charges, including a felony charge for obstruction of official proceeding related to the events of the Capitol building on January 6th. On Thursday, Washington, D.C. Judge Trevor McFadden set Cudd's jury trial for 9 a.m. February 7th, 2022. There will also be a pretrial conference on January 31st. U.S. Attorney Amanda Freddo said during a status conference on Thursday that the federal government had made a plea offer and that Cudd's attorney had presented a counteroffer that involved reducing the felony charge to a misdemeanor. She said the government had not made a decision on the counteroffer. Local briefs from staff reports. Pfluger. Biden administration must pay Midland Memorial Hospital back. Congressman August Pfluger released a statement Thursday upon learning that Midland Memorial Hospital has provided more than $200,000 in medical care to migrant children housed at the Midland Hospital site and has not been reimbursed. The San Angelo Republican stated, "I have just been made aware that at least 40 illegal immigrant minors from the Midland HHS facility have been treated at Midland Memorial Hospital for a barrage of issues, including COVID, pregnancy, suicide attempts, and more, racking up charges in excess of $200,000. To date, President Biden's Department of Health and Human Services has not processed a single claim to pay back Midland Memorial. Memorial's Midland's hospital system should not have to shoulder the costs of the Biden border crisis. I will immediately begin knocking down doors to demand that Midland Memorial Hospital be repaid." UT Permian Basin Design's dance team seeks applicants. The University of Texas Permian Basin will soon have a redesigned dance team. UTPB hired Cassidy Ramage Ray as the head coach. Ray was recently a member of the Texas Tech National Championship team. Video submissions are due 5 p.m. Tuesday to falconspirit@utpb.edu. Finalists will be notified by June 2nd. In-person tryout for finalists will be June 5th. Finalists must be admitted to UTPB by June 5th to be eligible. There are scholarships available for team members. Video submission requirements include short introduction, name, hometown, classification, right, left, and center splits, right, left, and venter leaps across the floor, switch, leap, variation of dancer's choice, turning center leap, minimum of a clean double pirouette, a la second turn combination, leg extensions, additional skills or tricks to showcase, 30-second solo to highlight dancer's movement and technique. Dairy Queen celebrates Hamburger Day with Hunger Buster Deal. Dairy Queen is celebrating National Hamburger Day on Friday by offering a deal on the Hunger Buster at restaurants across Texas. The juicy quarter-pound grilled beef Hunger Buster is topped with crisp lettuce, ripe tomatoes, purple onions, tangy pickles, and bold yellow mustard, according to a news release. On Friday, Dairy Queen will be offering 2 for the price of 1. To redeem the deal, download the DQ Texas mobile app, available on both the Apple App Store for Apple devices and Google Play apps for Android devices. Don't forget a blizzard treat to go with a Hunger Buster. Summer blizzard flavors include brownie batter blizzard treat, drumstick with peanuts blizzard, Girl Scout thin mints blizzard, frosted animal cookie blizzard, cotton candy blizzard, and raspberry fudge bliss. MISD graduations. Coleman High School, Friday, Midland College Chaparral Center, 2:15 p.m., gates open, 3 p.m., Armed Forces salute and ceremony begin. Midland High, Friday, Grande Communication Stadium, 7:15 p.m., gates open, 8:15, Armed Forces salute, 8:30 p.m., ceremony begins. Inclement weather. Delays are possible for outdoor ceremonies because of inclement weather. Lightning strikes within 10 miles will result in a 30-minute delay. if ceremonies cannot start until after 10:15 p.m. or not be completed approximately by midnight, the event will be rescheduled. The reserve date for rescheduled Midland High and Lee commencement ceremonies is Saturday at Grande Communications Stadium at either 10 a.m. or 8:30 p.m. If only one high school commencement is rescheduled, the event will take place at 10 a.m. If both commencements are rescheduled, Lee will take place at 10 and Midland High will be at 8:30. Seating for the Lee and Midland High commencement will be on both the west home and east visitor sides of the stadium. Families should refer to their tickets to see which side of the stadium they should be seated. Gates open at 7:15. Those seated on the west side should enter through gate 2. Those on the east side should enter through gates 3 and 4. Seating is first come, first served, and the holding of seats is not permitted. Berms and areas without benches are not available for seating. Families should all sit together. Families are strongly encouraged to carpool and plan routes early. Because of Rockhound home games, parking is not available in lots west of Momentum Bank Ballpark. MISD is offering free limited shuttle service from Yarborough Elementary and Crestview Baptist Church. Shuttles will take passengers to and from Gate 4 at Grande from 6:30 to 8:15 and from 10 p.m. to 11. Masks are not required at any event. To ensure the safety of every guest and graduate, only clear bags will be allowed. Food and drinks will be available for purchase at concession stands during the commencement ceremonies, but are not available during the Coleman ceremony. Outside, food and drinks are not permitted. Tailgating is not permitted. No posters, banners, noisemakers, including air horns, balloons, confetti, or glitter are allowed inside the stadium to maintain optimal viewing of the ceremony. Graduations will be streamed live at MidlandISD.net/stream.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Friday, May 28th, 2021. Section A. Summer camp nets big numbers. Ector County ISD's summer program kicks off June 7th, and more than 6,000 students have signed up. Superintendent Scott Murray said that is four times more than the district has had in its history. We're excited to welcome all of those kids to summer programming, but it's not too late. We encourage any of our families that are interested in summer programming to visit the ECISD website. You can do that and have access to that information. They can also visit their local school and find out about summer programming. We offer it pre-K through 12th grade. Elementary will occur in June and July. Middle school and high school have a more specific programming design, Murray said in his media call Wednesday. He said he didn't expect to use additional buildings because of the number of students. He cited a couple of theories as to why so many youngsters have registered. One of the primary ones is moms and dads realize that the unfinished learning of our students is real. Our kids are different. Learning was difficult this year and last year because of the pandemic, and this has absolutely affected our kids, Murray said. We're seeing those effects in our STAR data. Our kids have taken the STAR and EOC and, of course, exams. We're starting to analyze that data, and we see the COVID slide. It's real. I think our parents are also noticing that in their own children and want to make sure that their children can not only catch up, but get ahead. Murray added that the district also marketed the summer program differently this year. Our summer program is not going to be summer school in the traditional sense. We're creating much more of a summer camp-like experience, and we've marketed that to our families. So I think our marketing strategy, coupled with the changes we've made in our summer program, have drawn more kids to the mix, he added. On a separate topic, Murray said the YMCA this week conducted a soft opening of its new facility that will be used to accommodate pre-K 3-year-olds for ECISD next school year. I was able to go over. The YMCA has really done some significant renovation work in their facility. New painting, new flooring, carpets in all the classrooms, new furniture is arriving. It's really a great place for kids. Now we just need to put the kids in there, which we will do in August, as we welcome a host of 3-year-old students for the first time in ECISD. We partnered with the YMCA to educate our pre-K 3-year-old students because we simply don't have enough room. Our schools are so full, we simply can't take on that many more students. However, we realize it's important to educate those kids. We're excited to partner with the Y to bring pre-K 3-year-old programming to ECISD for the first time, Murray said. Thursday was the last day of school for ECISD. Graduations are scheduled for today and Saturday. Odessa High School graduates at 8:30 p.m. today at Ratliff Stadium, and Permian High School follows Saturday at 8:30 p.m. OC Techs, Odessa Collegiate Academy, and New Tech have all graduated. Murray and other ECISD officials were out Tuesday celebrating one of our of the years. 2 weeks ago, we did our Teachers of the Year, Principals of the Year, and Assistant Principals of the Year. And then yesterday, May 25th, we recognized a host of other of the years. Our Custodian of the Year, Police Officer of the Year, Maintenance Employee of the Year, Counselor of the Year, Paraprofessional of the Year, Professional of the Year. So a lot of folks in each of the categories have received some recognition. It was fun to be able to celebrate those folks, especially in the middle of this pandemic. Each type of employee in ECISD has experienced a different type of year this year because of the pandemic, COVID restrictions, and everything else that's gone on. It was a good opportunity to celebrate the great work of our folks, Murray said. OHS Top 2 Heading into Medical Field. Odessa High School valedictorian Sejal Yadala and salutatorian Akash Agirkula are heading to different universities, but they have created a bond over the last 3 years that they hope will carry on for years. Yadala has been at OHS since her sophomore year, moving here from Lock Haven, Pennsylvania, a town of about 10,000 people. She and Agirkula were recognized as National Merit Commended Scholars, along with Faith Fulbright from Permian High School. Yadala was recognized in the rural small town classification. Both were virtual students all year. Over the past few years, there was just a friendly competition between Yadala and Agirkula. We're always helping each other out with schoolwork, too. We definitely depended on each other throughout the years. I think we're both glad to have each other, Agirkula said. Yadala said her parents and Agirkula's are close, and she'll be curious about what's happening with Agirkula, and will be texting him whether he wants her to or not. Yadala plans to attend the University of Miami in Miami, Florida, and Agirkula is heading to the University of Texas at Austin. Yadala said she chose the University of Miami because it is one of the best STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math schools in the country. Also, my family is really familiar with Florida, and they want to retire in Miami, so me going there just kind of worked out, Yadala said. She described the university as being a close-knit urban campus with an amazing biology program. I think overall, just all factors considered, it was a perfect fit for me. Then they gave a president's scholarship. They gave me $100,000, and that honestly really helped to compel my decision, Yadala said. She plans to study biology and hopefully pursue genetic research. Genetic research isn't really big right now, but I'm hoping it's going to get robust in the future. So I was thinking about studying things like CRISPR technology and genetics modification in people, but only for health reasons, like medical problems, and hopefully just for people with medical anomalies before they appear in the phenotype. That's pretty much my dream of what I want to do with that, Yadala said. According to the Jane Foundation website, a phenotype includes characteristics such as height and hair color. A genotype refers to the genetic characteristics of an organism, like eye color or other physical characteristics. Angirakula plans to major in biology, but have a business minor. I'm hoping to take a pre-med track, getting ready for medical school, he said. He added that he's not sure what specialty he'll go into, but he has some interest in dermatology and radiology. I think I still need some exposure to those fields, he said, whose father is a cardiologist. Yadala said her mother is an obstetrician gynecologist at Medical Center Hospital. That's kind of where I got a lot of medical influence, because she's always talking about surgeries and stuff that she does, she added. Reaching valedictorian in her class, she said, took a village of her teachers, parents, and friends. Yadala noted that she and Angirakula are in the International Baccalaureate Program at OHS and have a lot of the same classes. All of us just really help each other, and I definitely can't take the credit alone because it's been everybody's help and support and the community around me. I'm just really proud to be here and to have the amazing people around me who have helped me to get here, Yadala said. Angirakula said he agreed with Yadala and is thankful for all the support from his family and teachers at OHS and throughout his career at ECISD. I'm super excited for what's to come next, he added. Both are happy, but nervous about commencement, which is scheduled for 8:30 p.m. today at Ratliff Stadium. To be honest, I am a little nervous to actually be going into the real world, but at the same time, I think I'm ready to take on whatever challenge comes next, Angirakula said. I've been comfortable here, so it will be a shock to be done with my school year, but I'm definitely excited to move on to college. He added that because he and Yadala were in the IB program, which is known to be rigorous, it will help them in college. Yadala said she is glad they will be graduating in person. She said letting go of Odessa and OHS is going to be bittersweet because this has been the most amazing 3 years of my life. But I'm hoping it will prepare me for the next chapter of my life in Miami, and hopefully I'll just keep going up from here. But yeah, I hope after I graduate I can figure out some way to give back to Odessa and OHS because they've helped me so much, and I'm kind of sad to leave, she said. Yadala said she will miss the teachers and the students in the IB program the most. She said the teachers have helped shape her and allowed her to become the person that she is. I really couldn't have done anything that I'm doing today without them, and to be losing that safety net and community of support is really scary to me. I think that's what I'm going to be really sad about leaving. Angirakula echoed her sentiments. The little community that we've formed with IB, I think we've all gotten to know each other well over these past 3 or 4 years, and I know I've made a lot of good friendships throughout the program, Angirakula said. Landgraf staffer resigns following investigation. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, Wednesday night said a staff member in his Austin office has resigned from his office and employment with the Texas House of Representatives following the release of a DPS report that found the staff member, a law school graduate, had lied about being given a date rape drug by a lobbyist. The staff member also convinced another employee that she too had been given a date rape drug during the Easter holiday weekend while they were outside the office and at an Austin club. The report identified the woman as Jennifer Reeves. The report found she had made up the story of being given the drug to cover up cheating on her boyfriend. Landgraf, via phone from Austin, said he was in Odessa that weekend and was told that the two staff members had been drugged. "I had no reason not to believe it, and I was trying to be supportive," he said, adding that he found out about the DPS findings Tuesday and was conveying what was in the report. He spoke by phone shortly before meeting with his staff. He said the second staffer, who was convinced that she had been drugged, asked for an investigation, and the truth came to light, Landgraf said. He said the DPS report does not accuse either woman of committing a crime. "No one filed a false report," he said. "That line was not crossed." He said the Travis County DA's office has also declined to prosecute. "I am fully cooperating with DPS investigators and the Travis County District Attorney's Office," Landgraf said. He said sexual harassment and sexual assault are serious crimes and issues I do not take lightly. "When a staffer told me she believed she had been drugged through a drink, I took her claim seriously. I'm disappointed a DPS investigation concluded that a staffer lied about GHB being found in her system and propagated claims that she was drugged by a lobbyist to allegedly cover her own discretions." Landgraf said he is committed to accountability and justice when a person lies to law enforcement or breaks the law. "I also remain committed to fostering an environment where true victims of sexual assault or harassment feel safe and comfortable coming forward." Quick hits. Food pantry. Westminster Presbyterian Church, 4901 Maple, has scheduled the monthly food pantry from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the last Saturday of each month. Call 366-1321. On the net, wpcodessa.com. Exhibit and Program. The Texas Fallen Heroes Memorial Wall Program has been scheduled from 2 to 3 p.m. Saturday at the Dillard's Plaza at MCM Mall on 42nd Street. The Fallen Heroes exhibit will also be displayed throughout the day. The exhibit honors West Texas heroes from Iraq, Desert Storm, Middle East Crisis, World War II, Vietnam, and Korea. In addition, a veterans memorial service will take place at noon Monday at Ector County Cemetery, 300 South Dixie. Masks are recommended as well as social distancing, but are not required for in-person attendance. For more information, call Jesse Porras at 432-770-9423. Local News Roundup. Dance Benefit. A daddy-daughter dance for all ages has been scheduled from 5:30 to 9 p.m. June 12th at the Cooper Rose Building, 415 North Grant. The dance will honor Marley Munguia, 3, who has been diagnosed with neuroblastoma cancer. Marley is the daughter of Mason and Lanny Munguia. Mason is a football and baseball coach at Permian High School. The family has moved to Fort Worth to be close to Cook Hospital for all of Marley's treatments. The dance will include dinner served by Jack Jordan's Barbecue, face painting by Greenie the Clown, music, photo booth, Disney Princesses, silent auction, Mercedes electric car raffle, Kate Spade purse raffle, Best Dressed Contest, and more. All proceeds will go to the Munguia family. Tickets for the dance are $20 each. The event is open to the public. Anyone can attend, mom, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, etc., with the purchase of a ticket. Venmo Pay Dance for Marley Mungua at crystalflowers-wood. Sponsorships are available and donations are welcomed. To sponsor, donate, or for more information, call Crystal Wood at 432-254-2103. Visit tinyurl.com/3x7p2eym. Concert. The Butterfield Festival Committee and the Monahans Chamber of Commerce have scheduled a concert featuring John Conley, July 30th at the Ward County Event Center, 1525 East Monahans Parkway in Monahans. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the concert starts at 8 p.m. Concessions are available for purchase. Admission is $30. VIP sponsors and tables are available and limited. For reservations or for more information, call 432-943-2187. Robbery arrests made. Two 16-year-old males have been arrested in connection to three In-N-Out robbery investigations. One male was charged with aggravated robbery, first-degree felony, in connection to a robbery that occurred May 12th. The second male was charged with two counts of aggravated robbery, first-degree felony, in connection to two previous robberies. Anyone who recognizes the suspect shown in the surveillance photos or anyone with information in reference to the In-N-Out robbery that occurred January 31st is encouraged to contact Detective D. Rocha, 432-335-4933, or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS. Odessa Wins Video Awards by Federico Martinez. The City of Odessa's Communications Department recently received two International Telly Awards, including a first-place award for producing a rap video promoting COVID-19 safety measures in 2020. The Communications Department also received a second-place award for producing a video in honor of the victims of a horrific shooting, August 31st, 2019. When I received the news earlier this week that our city had been recognized by the Telly Awards, not once, but twice, for the work that was being done by our communications department, I was extremely pleased, City Manager Michael Marrero said. I want to congratulate Devin Sanchez, Magali Nieto, and Victor Wade for their efforts. The events of August 31st, 2019 and the pandemic of 2020 were unprecedented for our community. I am proud that with the hard work of our communications team, we were able to remind people of the importance of personal protective equipment against the pandemic. And certainly, a year after the tragedy of August 31st, 2019, our remembrance video was important as we continue to heal and work through the events of that day. The Telly Awards were founded in 1979 to honor local, regional, and cable television commercials with non-broadcast video and television and programming added soon after. More than 12,000 entries from all 50 states and continents were received this year, according to the organization's website. It's an honor to be recognized for your work, said Sanchez, the city's communications director. I think it shows that the city is moving toward a more video-centric department. It's not just about putting out press releases. It's telling stories through video. The rap video, which earned first place honors in the public service category, was created last July to encourage viewers to wear face coverings, Sanchez said. The video featured local rapper Holy Smoke and music by DJ Hamilton, also known as Corporal Michael Hamilton of the Odessa Police Department. At that point, we had tried every other avenue to encourage people to wear face masks, but it didn't seem to be getting a lot of results, Sanchez said. We decided to try something fun. It was a lot of work, but it has become the city's most watched video. The second place remembrance video was hard to do, Sanchez said. Her team wanted to create a video that honored the memory of those who died in the 2019 shooting and also be respectful of family and friends. Knoll earns award. Knoll Elementary staff and students received word they had been selected as a 2020-21 School of Excellence for Knoll's use of Imagine Language and Literacy. The award from Imagine Learning represents the highest distinction in the Imagine Nation recognition program. Knoll Elementary is one of just 80 schools around the country to earn this designation. Administrators and teachers were beyond excited to receive the news about our recognition in Imagine Learning, said Knoll Principal Jenny Chavez in the district newsletter. All year, the students were excited to set and meet a weekly goal, which was to exceed the district's expectation of 100 minutes per week. After program usage was reviewed for the 2020-21 school year, Knoll Elementary met the rigorous usage standards required for a School of Excellence designation. We used the program to supplement instruction, Chavez added. It helped both students and teachers identify areas of need. It also provided reading levels for students, which helped form small groups to target instruction. City Pools Open Saturday by Federico Martinez. Splish, splash, it's time for Odessa residents to head for the pools. The Floyd Gwynn Pool and the Sherwood and Woodson Family Aquatic Centers will reopen to the general public beginning from 1 to 7 p.m. Saturday and throughout the Memorial Day weekend. Spray grounds at UTPB and McKinney will also open from 1 to 7 p.m. Saturday. We're expecting a huge crowd since the pools were closed last year, Odessa's communication director, Devin Sanchez, said. Everyone is very excited. All pools will be fully staffed and vendor equipment was repaired this week, so pool goers will be able to pay with cash, Sanchez said. The pools will remain open through August 1st. Pool hours at the Sherwood Family Aquatic Center will be 1 to 7 p.m. Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays, and from 1 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday family nights. The pool will be closed on Wednesdays for cleaning and upkeep. Pool access is $4 for adults and $2.50 for youth. Woodson Family Aquatic Center will be open from 1 to 7 p.m. Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, and from 1 to 8 p.m. on Thursday family nights. The pool will be closed on Tuesdays. Pool access is $4 for adults and $2.50 for youth. Floyd Gwynn Pool will be open from 1 to 7 p.m. Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, and closed on Thursdays. Adult admission is $3 and youth $1.50. The spray ground sites will be open 7 days per week from 1 to 7 p.m. Obituary for Friday, May 28th. Rita Sally Ramirez. after a long, hard battle with Alzheimer's. Rita Sally Ramirez of Odessa passed away May 25th at the age of 83. She was born in San Antonio, June 26, 1937. She married Efrain Ramirez in 1962. She is survived by her brothers, Richard Murray and Charles Flores, her children, Efrain E. Ramirez and Sally Poole, four grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren. A celebration of Rita's life will be held at Crescent Park Baptist Church, Saturday at 2 p.m. Visitation with the family will be at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home, Friday, August 28th, from 6 to 8 p.m. A celebration will be held for Rita Sally Ramirez at Crescent Park Baptist Church, Saturday, May 29th at 10 a.m. A graveside service will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. The family requests memorials be given to the West Texas Alzheimer's Association, West Texas Chapter, ALZ.org. Death notices. Alonso Bustamante Barriga. Alonso Bustamante Barriga, 65, of Midland, died Wednesday, May 26th in Midland. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, May 29th at Martinez Funeral Home, outside chapel. At the family's request, cremation has been opted as the alternative means of burial. Family and friends are officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Mary Diana Tyndall. Mary Diana Tyndall, 67, of Odessa, died Tuesday, May 25th. A chapel service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, May 29th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Interment will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens Cemetery with Pastor Derek Looney officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Linda Jean Otto. Linda Jean Otto, 68, died Saturday, May 22nd in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, May 22nd, 2021. Adinvita looks ahead and plans to expand. Starting out with six students, Adinvita Private School now has 30 children in grades pre-K, 3 and 4 through 8th grade, and it plans to expand. Now in its third year of operation, the school is located at 619 North Grant, Suite 200. Despite COVID-19, Director Linda Subia said things have worked out pretty well with the number of students they have. Students receive individualized attention, and each one has their own device. We were already prepared at the beginning of the year because the kids all had laptops. We just told parents we're going virtual. We had a COVID handbook where parents knew the rules and precautions that we needed to take, Subia said. Co-director Amanda Ramirez said the school was virtual for May last year. During the summer, we prepared for this year. We prepared with our plexiglass shields, and then we distanced the desks and prepared with social distancing stickers on the floor, Ramirez said. So we were pretty prepared whenever we started school this year, she added. All the students did Google Classroom, put their assignments on there, and we really didn't have any problems at all. Ramirez noted that none of the students have been sick. Students have hand sanitizer, and they still use disinfectant wipes. Students have a box of Kleenex at their desks, and the school has invested in plexiglass. Students don't have to wear masks at their desks, but meals are eaten at the students' desks. As long as nothing bad comes up, the school should be good to go for next year. Ramirez said they might keep social distancing, but at a minimum. Students know to wash their hands and clean their desks up every day. Subia said students know to wash their hands for 20 seconds, but there are timers in the restrooms to let them know when the time's up. Subia said she, Ramirez, and Corina Rodriguez are the only teachers for the school. Rodriguez teaches 4 pre-kindergarten classes. In my classroom, I have pre-K through 2nd grade, and Ms. Ramirez has 3rd grade through 8th grade, so it's all a mixed class. What we do is we call them into groups so we have them leveled. If we have kids who are in the 5th grade that are already at 6th grade skills, then we can move them into that group. It's almost like it's not what grade level you're in, it's what skills you're being challenged on. That's what's good about our school, Subia said. Subia said the school has located a building downtown that they plan to move into that is more affordable. She added that they can renovate it to accommodate the students and maybe have a small playground. They could also hire 1 or 2 more teachers depending on enrollment. Subia said they are looking at the spring of next year to move. Hopefully, we'll be settled in and ready to go after the renovations. At first, it was kind of scary being a startup school, but Subia said having been in education so long, she had faith. Parents were looking for another private school, something that was different, non-traditional for the newer generation. And we still are a mix of traditional teaching, but I think there's a lot out there for the kids and what they want to do. For instance, the Young Entrepreneur Day, they got to do what they wanted to do. Ramirez said the projects were great. Students are taught financial literacy at Adenvita. We don't study just like regular personal financial literacy. Our students were reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and they're learning about investing, and they're learning about saving their money and where to put their money when they get older, Ramirez said. She said they have already gotten interest from parents for next year. We've been getting messages on Facebook, she said. Subia said they eventually see the school expanding up to high school. They plan to earn accreditation through Cognia. It was supposed to occur last year, but was delayed due to COVID. We don't want to have more than 100 kids at school because it's more about quality than quantity. And if we can just get them in and from pre-K, after that, once they leave us, they'll be ready for college or the real world. That's our goal, Subia said. Subia said parents can go to the school website to register, and they also conduct school tours by appointment. This summer, we're also having summer programs. That's another way to try to keep our kids involved in school and keep them busy in the summers. They're going to be starting June 7th, and they're going to end the last week in July. We'll post them on our website here soon, Subia said. They are going to offer taekwondo and self-defense, arts and crafts, a book club, pottery, art, and dance. Atmos Energy delivers thousands of meals to healthcare heroes. Through its Fueling Safe and Thriving Communities program, Atmos Energy partnered with local restaurants across its 1,400 communities to deliver $175,000 in meals to healthcare workers during National Hospital Week, May 9th through 15th. We are thankful for the selfless efforts of healthcare professionals to protect and care for our communities, Brandy Price, Atmos Energy Vice President of Public Affairs, said. National Hospital Week is a fantastic opportunity to honor and thank our hometown heroes and support local restaurants. Established by the American Hospital Association, National Hospital Week is an opportunity to highlight hospitals, health systems, healthcare workers, and the innovative ways they support their communities, especially during this pandemic. The Breast Center, recognized for excellence. Midland. The Breast Center at Midland Health has recently been recognized as a Certified Quality Breast Center of Excellence in the National Quality Measures for Breast Centers Program, NQMBC. This distinguished honor represents a commitment by this breast center to provide the highest level of quality breast health care to patients in our community. This level of certification in the NQMBC program is valid for 1 year. Measuring and comparing quality performance is essential in assessing patient care and allocating resources where improvement is desired. In today's dynamic healthcare industry, breast centers are faced with providing quality care while simultaneously keeping costs under control. A center's staff must not only be familiar with existing standards of care, but must also be aware of new advances in technology. The breast center actively ensures they provide the best possible quality care to breast patients in our community. The National Consortium of Breast Centers is proud to recognize the breast center as a certified quality breast center of excellence. The National Quality Measures for Breast Center were developed by referencing the Healthcare Advisory Board's Clinical Quality Dashboard for Breast Centers, published in the fall of 2004. The National Quality Measures for Breast Centers reflect more than 11 years of work, which has culminated in the adoption of more than 33 national quality indicators. Midland Health Breast Center began this journey 10 years ago in 2011 as a certified participant quality breast center. In 2013, the breast center achieved the title of Certified Quality Breast Center of Excellence. The breast center has continually maintained this certification for our patients and community. The National Consortium of Breast Centers promotes excellence in breast health care for the general public through a network of diverse professionals dedicated to the active exchange of ideas and resources. For more information regarding the NQMBC program, visit www.breastcare.org.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.